Shalom, Australia. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis on Friday that Israel welcomes the strategic change of American leadership and American policy. Hosting Mattis in Jerusalem, Netanyahu hailed the Pentagon's strong and forthright words on Iran and U.S. President Donald Trump's very forthright deeds against Syria. Mattis said, "I think it is important that we remind ourselves that if good people don't band together, then bad people can do a lot of damage in this world." Israel's Holocaust Remembrance Day, Yom HaZikaron LeShoah LeGevurah, will be marked from sundown today until Monday evening. Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri urged the UN on Friday to help his country reach a permanent ceasefire with Israel, saying this is long overdue and my government is committed to move this agenda forward. On Thursday, Hezbollah organized a tour for journalists along the Lebanon-Israel border. The Lebanese leader called it unacceptable that armed gunmen from the group appeared in a UN-created border buffer zone meant to be free of Hezbollah presence. The tour was criticized as a provocation and a violation of the 2006 UN Security Council resolution that created the buffer zone. Hezbollah sought to paint Israel as afraid of a new conflict while depicting themselves as ready for war, despite them having committed thousands of fighters to bolstering Syria's President Bashar Assad. Hezbollah also showed off some of its weaponry, inviting photographers to take pictures of its armed gunmen. The Taba border crossing from Israel into Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, which had been closed since before Pesach, reopened on Friday. Nonetheless, the Counter-Terrorism Bureau stressed that the threat posed to Israelis in the Sinai remained serious, concrete, and immediate, as reflected in the serious travel warning and the recommendations to refrain from visiting the area and calling on all tourists to leave immediately. The closure of the border marked only the third time the Taba crossing has been shut down since its opening in 1982. On Tuesday, Finance Minister Moshe Kahlon announced his economic initiative at a press conference, apparently without the approval of Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Net Family Plan program, which will cost the government about 4 billion shekels per year, intends to remove families from a cycle of poverty by significantly increasing their net wages. The program will grant parents of children up to 6 years old extra tax points to increase the amount of money they take home from their salaries. The plan also calls for the subsidy of after-school programs according to socioeconomic status and region. Taxes on shoes, baby clothes, and cellular phones will be cut. Kahlon said the program will serve as a growth engine for the economy while strengthening Israeli society, the Israeli working family, and the economy. Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein on Friday said he was disgusted by the behavior of two of his fellow Likud lawmakers who shouted at the bereaved relatives of fallen soldiers during a heated Knesset committee meeting on Wednesday. The debate was over a damning state controller report published in February, which found serious failures by the military and government ahead of and during the 2014 conflict, Operation Protective Edge. Likud lawmakers David Bitan and Miki Zohar got into a screaming match with the families of slain IDF troops at the meeting, for which they were subsequently reprimanded by the Prime Minister's office. During the meeting, Leah Golden, whose son Hagdar Golden's body is being held by Hamas, said Operation Protective Edge isn't over. Hamas wanted to kidnap soldiers, and it still has two of them. She accused Netanyahu of turning their families into the enemy of the people, pitting their desire to retrieve their son's remains against the country's security needs. Ilan Sagi, whose son Erez was killed in a cross-border attack launched through one of the Hamas tunnels, said that when the state controller's report on the conflict came out, charging the government with multiple failures, it was like someone took a knife and stabbed me in the heart, and that in the Wednesday hearing, Netanyahu was twisting and twisting the knife. Edelstein expressed deep sadness and disgust at the unnecessary and unfortunate remarks made by fellow MKs during the public debate. Ultra-Orthodox politicians are considering a number of ways to fight Wednesday's High Court of Justice decision, which upheld a 2014 Tel Aviv City Council ordinance allowing convenience stores in Tel Aviv to remain open on Shabbat. The court said its ruling would protect the cosmopolitan character of the coastal and mostly secular city. Most of the opposition to the ruling has been led by the ultra-Orthodox. Amid the outrage over the ruling from religious leaders, Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman praised the High Court decision, saying it protects both the sanctity of Shabbat and the secular character of Tel Aviv. Basima Atala, one of two Palestinian women from Gaza caught trying to smuggle explosives in medicine containers into Israel as they headed for cancer treatment at a Jerusalem hospital, has been freed from Israeli custody. Raheb Atala said his wife had gone for treatment of colorectal cancer in Jerusalem more than 10 times since July and has never had a problem before. He said his wife was unaware that she may have been smuggling anything illegal into Israel. Someone asked them to take a bottle of medicine for a patient there, he said. The bottle was closed and they did not know what was inside. The Shin Bet accused the women of aiding terror activity at the behest of Hamas. Basima's sister, 57-year-old Ibtisam Aid, remains in Israeli custody. Two major Israeli authors, Amos Oz and David Grossman, were among six writers shortlisted on Thursday for the £50,000 Man Booker International Prize. Grossman was named for his latest work, A Horse Walked Into a Bar, and Amos Oz for his opus, Judas. Grossman's novel is set in a comedy club in Netanya, focusing on a comedian falling apart on stage. Oz's novel, set in Jerusalem in the late 1950s, is an historical coming-of-age novel that mirrors aspects of Oz's own upbringing in the Holy City. The book has already won a major German literature prize. A tiny satellite built by Israeli high school students flew into space on Tuesday from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral on its way to study the atmosphere as part of an international research project. The Duchefat 2 is one of 28 nanosatellites from 23 countries participating in the European Union's QB50 Thermosphere Research Program, but it's the only one constructed by high school students. Over 80 pupils in grades 9 to 12 at schools in Herzliya, Ofakim, Yerucham, and the West Bank settlement of Ofra and the Bedouin town of Hora helped to construct Duchefat 2. 14 students from Herzliya and Hora traveled to Florida to watch the live launch. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem and thinking as you are of the Shoah and its significance for today.